What does international mean?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about Bill and Ted Face the Music, the brand new Bill and Ted movie available to stream from inside your own home or watch in a theater if you know you want to.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello, I'm Molly Glover.
And Nick Glover.
That's me. I'm that one.
You're that
one.
At
first, I just waved because I forgot that this wasn't like a Ville show.
No.
And it was instead because we just did a Ville show. So I had that on the brain.
And yeah, the video is like for like the three Patreon supporters that watch it.
And we've mentioned it a lot, but no one's interested enough to subscribe just to get to see it, I've noticed.
I guess.
I should go back and look because they all are linked to on something that's keeping track of the views.
I should go
look. I haven't looked since like the first time we put them up. So right. I don't know. Maybe there's more views on them.
More than we think. Maybe there
I'm
are
not
six
concerned.
Views instead of three. That would be twice as much. So we are still recording remotely from our own homes because we are in the midst of the COVID winter of 2020. One of the hardest
It's not
things,
winter yet.
Don't
fuck with me that way. September, you monster.
But one of the hardest things I think that we've encountered in making new episodes has been sort of the lack of new material.
Yeah.
Coming out. So the great thing is this week we get to talk about a new movie.
Yeah.
A movie that has just come out within the last few days.
That was originally going to be a theatrical release and actually still was a theatrical release, but they did, you could go see it in the theaters or you could rent it or buy it same day.
Which was most excellent of them.
It was
most excellent way to lead into what
it was
we're
righteous.
Talk about there. It was righteous. So the movie we are talking about, of course, based on that that little lead in there, Bill and Ted Face the Music, starring. Yes, it is a sequel to Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and of course, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Bogus Journey, I believe, was released 29 years ago.
Woo. Yeah.
So it is a long awaited and perhaps in some ways long unexpected sequel.
Are you sure that the second one was? God, was I 13 when
I read it online. So if it's not 29 years, then
I think maybe that might be when the first one came out.
Might be.
But yeah, it was really, I don't know. I was really delighted that this got made. For real.
Excellent Adventure was 89.
Excellent Adventure was 89. Okay. Geez. So Bogus Journey was, yeah.
Couple like years
91.
Later.
Bogus Journey was 91.
91.
Yeah. So yeah, 29
God.
Years. 29
oh
years. It's like, I am going to point out before we even go into anything about this movie, spoiler warning, if you have not seen it, we're going to spoil the shit out of the movie. So I don't know that it's going to make that much of a difference to you. It's a Bill and Ted movie. How spoily can it be? But still.
I bet you can guess what happens. They're tasked with a thing.
Yeah.
And just when it seems like they'll never get to do it, it happens.
The thing.
And, and everything's
also there's
good.
Time travel. Also, yep. there's
yes.
time travel.
And historical figures saying things that make it funny because they don't know they're not from here.
Anachronistic comedy.
Yeah. I really liked the okay, so right away I loved the daughters.
Oh,
the daughters are great.
They stole the show.
And so one of the actors is non-binary. That's the one who played
Bridget Lundy Payne.
Yeah, they played Billy.
Yeah.
Who is Ted's daughter.
Reeves's daughter.
Keanu Reeves's daughter, Billy. And then
the other one is Samara Weaving.
Yeah.
Samara Weaving, who is the niece of Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
Right.
I knew they were related, but I couldn't remember if she was his daughter or
she's not his daughter.
She's great, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
But the physical acting of both of them was pretty amazing. But Bridget Lundy Payne, like their shoulders and arms and posture was so 1989 Keanu Reeves. It was really amazing. It was really impressive. Like sometimes they would just move around and it was like enough to cause laughter.
Yeah, the way they cast the daughters and the way the daughters behaved was really great. It was this is exactly the kind of children that Bill and Ted would raise.
Did you and Pat watch it at home or did you?
Oh yeah.
Did you have like a drive-in or anything?
Okay. We watched it at home.
That's what we did too.
It was like,
I couldn't think.
It was like $19. It was like $20 to rent it and $25 to buy it, and we just went ahead and bought it. We're like,
are we gonna
watch it more than once? Probably. So
I'll show it to somebody.
Well, it's like also we made the justification that New Mutants came out this same weekend, but only in theaters, not as a streaming option at all. And like that's a movie I would like to see, even though it's going to be fucking terrible. I just want to
money to see it.
I'd pay money to see it. This did come out as a streaming option. And so we were like, let's reward that. Like they get our $5 extra.
Yep.
Even if we never watched it ever again, like I would like to encourage that behavior with my money because whatever.
I feel like it was a good move. I feel like it was a smart move on the part of whoever Fox, I think was it was 20th Century Fox.
Not sure who has, I don't know. And I think New Mutants is, back under Marvel.
It's
Fox under Marvel,
under
but it's
the
not
Disney.
Disney.
It's not 20th Disney. Century Pictures.
Got it. Because I know that people were saying they were surprised that Mulan, a live action Mulan movie, was released to streaming, but they didn't do that with New Mutants.
Black Widow. I mean, would be a more appropriate comparison.
I'm saying what people actually said. Because they were surprised that they didn't do that because they said it must be that they assumed probably there was Fox interference, right? Or whatever it is. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think it probably is something like that. That
it was just Disney.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes more sense to release simultaneously. Certainly this year, I don't know how they measure box office, how they can possibly measure box office, including online subscription.
It's a whole new world. They're going to have to figure it out because like this isn't going away anytime soon. Right. So it's actually kind of fascinating to see how the movie business has to evolve.
Well, I don't know how much Orion, I think is who, was
you're right.
Bill and Ted.
You're right.
The old school.
Because they even did the super old school intro in the beginning.
To match the first two,
So I don't know how vigilant they are about fighting piracy compared to like Disney or Disney Fox or whatever. Because Disney's super litigious and really, really, picky about that sort of thing. Like HBO kind of has a reputation for that as well. Within, an hour or two of Bill and Ted being available, it was on BitTorrent, like that fast. So obviously, doing a digital release is going to mean more piracy or at least earlier piracy.
Sure.
Whereas like if you wanted to find a pirated copy of New Mutants, you would be downloading a cam, which is like someone who sat in the audience with a camcorder set up and recorded the movie.
Right.
And they look like shit and they sound like shit. And usually they have Korean subtitles.
Mm-hmm. I will say that Bill and Ted, I really was glad to see it at home. I think it let me laugh and talk through it about things I remembered, because it was a very reminiscy kind of movie.
Yeah. I watched it. Pat and I watched it with our youngest, Devin, and he has not, as I recall, seen either Excellent Adventure or Bogus Journey.
What a place to jump on!
He still seemed to be able to follow everything.
I mean, yeah, they spell it out pretty well. And yeah. I mean, there's some details you're missing maybe, like, but
yeah. I really enjoyed the fact that it started out with Missy marrying Bill's younger brother.
Yeah. Oh,
that was funny.
Yeah, that was great. Like, yeah. That was super great.
She is still in the family. Oh yeah, Missy
and,
is.
And,
yeah,
Missy. And it's the third marriage for her.
Yeah,
right?
Because she was married to Ted's dad.
And then she married Bill's dad.
and then she married Bill's brother.
Yeah. Which suggests that she has a certain obsession with that group of families that's a little unhealthy, but
it was very nip-tuck.
Yeah. She found her family, Tim, and she just doesn't want to expand that anymore. Yeah. She's good with that. That number in that group.
And then the fact that they go into Bill and Ted at the wedding trying to do their song again.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, yeah.
It was like theremin and throat singing. I thought, I don't know.
It was a well-structured movie in the sense that like they set things up really, like mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you would think it was, I guess, like very by the books, or someone might even say amateurish.
Formulaic.
I liked it. Yeah, yeah. Formulaic. Yeah,
yeah,
I liked
for it. A Bill and Ted movie. Sure. Yeah, it followed.
I mean, I liked the different versions of them. Keanu Reeves does a much better British accent. Reeves is a really good actor now.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves is a better actor. I mean, it just that's something that you have to sort of acknowledge. As much as people make fun of his acting ability, he actually is a better actor than the actor who plays Ted that I can never remember the name of because that's all he's ever done.
Right. Alex
Winter. He plays Bill.
Okay. Yeah. So also,
yes,
like,
Bill.
I feel like Keanu Reeves had to dumb down his acting ability when they were being just like regular vanilla old Bill and Ted and not future versions of themselves, which were more exaggerated. So he got to act more, but like when they are just playing Bill and Ted together as their dumb selves, I feel like Keanu Reeves had to like turn down his acting ability a bunch to Matt Winters so that he wasn't like, they weren't so off balance.
He
or
wasn't
weird.
Just out acting the shit out
I
of
think
Bill.
He came off almost like a little less, not as good as
subdued.
Alex Winter because he couldn't seem to hit that like sweet, dumb surfer kid note. And Alex Winter still had this exact same. He was also in a movie called Freaked, by the way, which is really.
And he was in
really
The Lost
ridiculous.
Boys, but you know.
Yeah. He was, wasn't he?
He does not have as storied a career as Keanu Reeves does. He does not have a John Wick film to his name.
They had two new princesses again.
They did.
Again.
Yeah.
I was a bit disappointed by that. I was like, why did they not want to bring back the original actresses because they would look, you know, the age they are?
Maybe they didn't want to do it.
Maybe not.
Maybe I mean, they just thought they had better choices and it didn't matter because there's no casting continuity there anyway.
And it's not like that those roles were huge. I mean, there's
maybe
a bunch
all
of
the other princesses were bitches.
Maybe. What was your kind of favorite moment? Did you have a favorite moment from the movie?
I really loved all of the interaction between Billy and Theodora, Thea.
Right.
Like, because just the way that they talked to each other, and they were both so like, dude, yeah, I know. And like, they knew so much about history and music. They were smart, really like talented girls who like grew up together. So they acted like siblings, you know, but
they're like smart versions of their fathers where they're like no less goofy and innocent or obsessed with music, but like they had, you know,
they
supporting that. Maybe.
And they talked to each other the same way that Bill and Ted talked to each other, in that it was always we. Mm-hmm. We got to do this. Well, we got to do that. Well, what are we going to do?
We love you.
And then they also talked, and it was always our dads. Oh no, our dads. It was never my dad, your dad. It was like, our dads are doing this. Oh no, what are we going to do? So it was like, they had this like codependency thing together that I really liked. And it was very skillful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were great characters. I got to talk about Samara Weaving a little bit more in a minute, but
all right.
I think like one of the things that made me laugh the hardest in this movie was also a part of the movie that was at some points my least favorite part of the movie, and that was the robot that whose name I ironically can't remember right now.
Danny,
kind of funny.
Is it Danny? It's Cody O'Brien or something.
So 90% of the time the robot was like cheesy and dumb, and like the way it's designed with that bubble on its head and stuff and the color scheme, it is clearly very heavily inspired by Frieza from Dragon Ball Z. And like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you Google Freeza Dragon Ball, you'll see basically an alien that looks just fucking like the robot in this Bill and Ted Face Music. But man, there are a couple times when the robot says a joke or makes an expression or something that I lost my fucking shit and I laughed so hard. And like the first time it happened, I was like mad about it because I was like, fuck you, I don't want to laugh. This sucks, stupid robot making me laugh. I don't know if I'd say that's my favorite part.
Dennis Caleb McCoy.
Dennis Caleb McCoy. Yeah.
But maybe a favorite part, I did really like the couples counseling. Like,
that whole scene
was real great. And that might be my favorite moment because, like the problem isn't that they don't love their wives. Clearly they do quite a bit. And they know something's wrong and they want to fix it. Like, really the problem is just that they're like dumb and but like nothing else. Like nothing else is the problem. They're not really doing anything wrong. They're trying to be sympathetic.
They're good men.
Yeah.
They clearly are good guys.
And so like because there's zero malice at all in their marriage crumbling and the wife's frustration, which is legitimate, like that was super funny to me. I thought that was great.
I have to agree with the couples counseling. I think now that I've had some more time to remember an actual moment, I think the part where Kristen Schaal's character, Rufus's daughter.
Yeah.
When Kristen Schaal's character is finds out that the robot, her mother named the robot after her ex.
Oh yeah.
And so he's like, my name is, you know, it's like, my name is, what is it? Dennis Caleb McCoy. And she's like, you named him after my ex? And it's just such a, like such a weird, funny joke. Like, yeah.
I wonder if that was improvised.
The kind of joke that kids who watch it aren't going to get.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not, but they're going to get that it's funny. They're not going to really understand why. Yeah.
What about you, Tim? What were your?
I was actually going to say that Rufus's daughter, when just her bits when she's on the phone talking to her mom while she's in hell. She's just so pissed at her mom right now because she's in hell. And I really enjoyed Dennis's the first time he accidentally kills somebody who's not Bill and Ted. He's like, oh shit, I wasn't supposed to do that.
Oh no.
Which totally turns the badass, you know, it's like he's got this badass Terminator vibe to him that he's supposed to have. But then he's like, oh, fuck, I killed the wrong people.
That's a really good point. That's the moment when it stopped being boring. Cause I agree. I was like, oh good. An assassin robot. That's unstoppable. What a fun thing.
Like, and then it was a robot, hilarious. But clearly it's a person with like, you know, latex prosthetics and shit. So I hate it already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that I really enjoyed is when Bill and Ted have to escape from future Bill and Ted, but future Bill and Ted know everything they're going to do. And so their solution is to put buckets over their head so they can't see what they're doing
and spin around in circles a bunch. It's basically like using a random number generator, like if someone knew all the decisions you were gonna make on a drive home and they were trying to catch you on your way home, that's when you like roll a die to see whether you turn left, go straight, or go right. And then
it
was so Bill and Ted. That was
But there
are a lot of moments in the movie, but that was like the perfect Bill and Ted who are idiots and solve problems in the dumbest possible ways. But of course, it's the only way they could outsmart themselves.
Yeah.
to do something that stupid.
I liked it more than I liked the Bogus Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bogus Journey, sure. I will admit, Bogus Journey is a lot funnier once you've seen that Swedish movie about death that death is modeled the after.
13 Steps?
The Seventh Seal.
Seven Seal. Yeah. The other numbers
like,
one.
Once you've seen any of that and you realize that is a very somber like death character,
right.
So that then the way he acts in Bogus Journey is funnier.
Yeah, it's absurd.
As it stands, it was just when I saw it when I was a kid, I remember just being like, okay, not scary, he's death. Like it just didn't, I don't know, it didn't strike me the same.
I think I liked it about as much as the first one, which is to say a lot better than the second one.
Yeah, agreed.
But for very different reasons than I liked the first one. I think, I don't know, there's obviously some nostalgia there, so I don't know how objective I can be about liking the first one.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the hell out of the first one and have rewatched it numerous times. Yeah. The second one I watched once, and I never really felt the need to watch it again, and I don't know that that's a commentary on how good or bad the second one is. And
Station.
Well, yeah. Here's a way that that Face the Music has a leg up on both of the first two. And that is that there's no homophobia.
Yeah.
And there's no like any of that stuff. Yeah. And there is in the first one.
Yeah.
There legit is.
Yeah.
Like, so they never say any homophobic slurs in this movie.
No.
So I'm all about that making it mean that it's actually the better of all three movies.
Yeah, like, I dig that.
They captured the spirit without.
I dug who they picked for all their musical people from history.
Yeah. And that was apparently intentional. The diversity of that group was very intentional on the hand.
I mean, clear,
part of the
yeah, creators. No doubt.
Good.
Like there, it wasn't even like very Western centric.
Mm-hmm.
And also I really appreciated the Kid Cudi being the fucking like quantum physicist genius.
Yes,
that was great.
Who then at the very end drops a Station reference from Bill and Ted 2, the two twin aliens named Station who are like a Pokemon, only say their name Station.
Oh, that's right.
He drops a Station reference like as he departs and makes the Be Excellent to one another pose with his arms. It's just like, wait a minute. Is he a Station? Is he an alien like them? Or does he know them? Or was that just a reference to their performance in the second movie? Or, yeah. But,
It was a good movie. And I got to say something about Samara Weaving.
Yeah.
Because if anybody sees this movie and likes her in this, she's a really, really good actress.
Mm-hmm.
Two movies came out in 2019 that she was in, and they're both fantastic. Mm-hmm. One is Ready or Not.
Yep.
So good.
She's so good in that.
Like, it's like a comedy horror film.
Yeah.
She's an adult woman, and she plays a teenager very well. But she's like I was surprised at how she looked for like 14, 15 years old.
I know. She's almost 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the other one, which is a little more problematic because the director dropped some really stupid shit on Twitter. But Guns Akimbo is another
one. Oh, yeah.
Guns Akimbo,
And it's a fucked up, weird, crazy as shit action movie.
Is she the one? Is she the bounty hunter that's like chasing him?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. She
is
way different.
I know.
Together.
Yeah.
It's like if you watch these three movies back to back, you would have a hard time recognizing that it's the same actress in all three of them.
Cargill said she was really good in The Babysitter, which when he recommended Guns Akimbo, he was like, yeah, man, Guns Akimbo and The Babysitter, like keep an eye on her. She's going places. And we had already seen Guns Akimbo and you know, liked it for the absurd fucking nonsense that it was.
So funny.
But I kind of want to see The Babysitter now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's definitely an actress I'd keep my eyes on, you know, when you can, because who the fuck knows when they're going to have new movies. Yeah,
I mean, right.
They're kind of portioning them out, which I appreciate and don't. Because you know, when are they going to actually be able to make movies again? When are we going to get our first movie made over Zoom?
That's the thing. Well, so there's already an HBO show.
Yeah.
There's a show on HBO that's coming in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's made 100% on from home.
Bette Midler. And,
yeah. The Sarah Paulson and Bette Midler and, a bunch of other actors.
Yeah.
There's like five or six actors.
The young actress from that Netflix show,
I don't know. Based on a weird they're comic. All anyway. They're all filming from home in their own homes.
Yeah.
So it's all.
Or.
Yeah, it's yeah. And they're playing characters who just happen to live in houses like theirs, right? Like it's
yeah.
Oh, it's called Coastal Elites.
Yeah, Coastal is the name Elites. Of the show. Yeah.
Or I mean, I imagine they're probably going to do some shit with like quarantine the entire crew. For 2 weeks, you know, crew and cast for two
sure,
weeks.
Sure, test everybody.
And, try, and do the whole thing in a soundstage or something and like that. And
do quick try tests and, at the start try of every shoot, day.
Try and shoot the whole thing in like 3-4 weeks or whatever. Or
rent out two sound stages and build barracks.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that's basically what like the NBA is doing. And they still keep on getting, having to cancel games
well,
a lot.
Well, they still have families and stuff too, though.
Yeah.
Okay?
Not the yeah, well, I mean, no. The NBA actually hasn't had that problem. It's the it's Major League Baseball, which didn't create a bubble.
Oh, so NBA just stopped because they're all being
yeah. the NBA stopped because they were
they're
protesting.
Awesome.
Yeah,
well,
they're
more
awesome.
Recently, yeah, yeah, I was talking about
yeah,
yeah.
Anyway. I realize this is off the topic, no, but NBA and hockey both have a bubble, and neither one of them have had problems. MLB did not have a bubble and has all sorts of problems. So,
mm-hmm. So. This is one of those things that a couple episodes ago when we were talking about, like, I can't remember, we were talking about the Mandalorian's technical advances that they talk about on the Disney Plus kind of behind-the-scenes show. And they talk about the 3D screen and the fact that they do previs for every single scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do the lighting effects are dynamic on the virtual set, so they don't have to spend special effects budget to do lighting stuff, and it makes things look better too. So like Taika Waititi said, he shot over 300 shots in a single day of shooting. They can work faster and they can work cheaper. I think that like eventually that type of shit is going to have to catch on real fast if they're going to keep up with the mm-hmm. the demand for media, because if they need to work faster and more efficiently,
mm-hmm.
do as much work as they can ahead of time, separately, safely on computers with previs, working with
that's
directors,
a good point. Yeah.
Then they can, you know, do all the risky in-person stuff fast.
Yeah.
That's why we're going to get more of sooner than others. Yeah. And it's going to come down to like how smart they are in their production.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And as much as I want everybody to be, and I want everybody to be safe, but I do miss getting that opportunity for new media. Bill and Ted is great to get that. And I really appreciated it for that. And I don't know if I appreciated it more just because I got that opportunity for new media, but I sure did appreciate it.
I can totally see that because, you know, like I think that not having that much to see makes it so that when you do get something, I mean, it's just like if you haven't had a drink of water in a long time, cold, clear water tastes good, right? Like it's giving us serotonin in a world where there's not a lot of serotonin to go around.
That is absolutely accurate. All right. So speaking of serotonin, that has nothing to do with what we're about to do. It's time for five questions.
That's not true. These are five questions. It's actually ruled to give you a serotonin boost because it's going to give you a little dopamine hit. Because you're going to be so happy you answer these questions.
Those are different questions.
From Jason Godfrey. I know. It was my own way of doing a segue. Okay. That's a segue.
I got it. I got the segue.
About 5 pounds.
Okay.
All right. Hello, Jason says. I've been a fan of the show since I discovered it at Convergence a few years ago.
Great.
Keep up the good work. Hey, that's awesome. We still get new people wandering in at Convergence. That actually makes me happy. All right. Jason says, fantasy is a common theme in geek culture. In this scenario, Geeks Without God has made it big. And you now enjoy the aspects of the lifestyle of the ultra rich.
Oh.
So we are all ultra rich.
Oh, boy.
Awesome. Okay.
So question one.
Okay.
If you had a choice of owning one type of transportation used by the ultra rich, what would it be? Private jet, helicopter, supercar, limo, or super yacht?
Oh.
I'm going to go helicopter.
Helicopter's pretty fucking cool.
I'm going to go helicopter just because like I can hire pretty much anything else. Owning my own helicopter feels fun.
I feel like I would travel so much more if I didn't have to deal with all of the people in private jet would be mm-hmm. so great, because like mm-hmm. the seats would be comfortable and accommodating mm-hmm. and you're guaranteed to not be on a plane with a crying child
or a sick person
or a True. Sick person. We could travel now mm-hmm. even right mm-hmm. like with a yep. small crew
yep
like yeah
from a COVID-19 sure. perspective you know the private jet really makes a lot of sense. Helicopter's cool. The problem is they're super short range, so
I'm already regretting it.
But I think I would probably want a yacht. There's a lot of yeah. places that, and it's just like, I enjoy the relaxation of taking your time to get somewhere.
Yeah. I think
internet?
Super yacht. Some yachts you can have internet.
Oh yeah. They can
just broadcast it.
Yeah.
For
there's
you.
Like, there's satellite. Yeah, yeah. You can still have internet.
I think I'm going to switch to super yacht. Okay. I have to agree with you, Tim. I have to agree because my mom makes me watch this show called Below Decks. Like all about this luxury yacht that you can rent for like $350,000 for a weekend.
Oh my God.
And it's pretty nuts. Like there's a full kitchen.
Oh yeah.
For a chef. And
oh
like,
yeah. You've got like a like gourmet fucking chef on
seven,
this thing. You don't have
seven
to do
like
shit.
Luxurious bedrooms. And so, shit. Yeah. yeah.
So oh, where, yeah. so then I feel like I need to ask, since it doesn't really matter for my choice, where is your super yacht docked?
Off the coast of Virginia.
Mm. Okay. Tim, where's your super dot yacht?
my super yacht's going to be docked in San Francisco because number one, I like San Francisco. Number two, zero hurricanes. So,
you know, the hurricanes yeah. is a good point. Yeah, yeah, I didn't think about that.
You might
I'll
be
have
able
to pay
make it
someone
all the way
to do
Hawaii.
Something about that.
Oh, you could definitely sail it all the
See?
Way to Hawaii.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could still go to stuff in the Atlantic. You can take the Panama Canal, and so it's where it's docked. But if you want to take it, we're super rich, right? We don't got to do shit. We're recording our episodes from our super yacht remotely as we're doing mm-hmm. now. And if I want to go over for non hurricane season over in the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic, that's cool, right?
Yeah, now that I suppose it makes more sense to pay for a flight to San Francisco every now and then instead of paying for hurricane proofing to shed, you know, like cover
Plus,
my yacht. So
we'll just take my private plane.
We'll just take Nick's. There we'll just go. Take Nick's jet.
Yeah, you have a
yacht.
Slight advantage there.
That's well, true. That's true.
But you know, I have a cat. She can have a private jet. It'll work.
I'm
out.
Sure she can.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Question two: if you could have one type of staff to help your daily life, which would it be? Think housekeeper, chauffeur, chef, groundskeeper, etc. Being the down-to-earth person that you are, you would still need to perform all of the leftover domestic tasks that you already do. So you're kind of picking like one thing to get right. to have to send to somebody.
This is easy for me.
Yeah.
This is easy for me because I fucking hate yard work more than anything else. And if I had a gardener, my yard would look amazing.
True.
And
right.
I can handle the other tasks, but gardening, I'd sure be happy to pay somebody else to do that shit.
Plus your yard is probably big if you're super rich, right? You've got
yeah.
a whole thing happening.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm assuming this person is like good at their job and has all the equipment to do their job properly.
You pay for that.
In which yeah. case, it would be someone to clean the house.
House cleaner, 100%.
Because like someone that could dust all the high parts and like just vacuum a little bit, and like, I mean, I will gladly, you know, do all the dishes and the laundry and like everything else. If mm-hmm. we just had someone cleaning,
yeah,
I feel like that would be. Well, I think Molly would be super happy.
100%. That's what I'm going to go
That'd
with.
Be your yeah. mental health would be.
That was, that was a quick second place for me, and Pat's probably.
I we aren't at a place making money that where I feel like I can spend it on having someone else clean the house for me on like a daily basis. But that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. I
like
that,
living
I would love
in a hotel.
Too.
Oh, hotel clean. All right. Number three, what celebrity would you invite to your birthday party, either as a guest or to perform?
I wouldn't invite a celebrity to perform. That's just kind of shitty.
Well, I think it's more of a
it's like if you're having a party.
Sometimes that's what, if it's a musician, that might be what they want to do, right? Like they may want to perform at your party.
I suppose that makes a certain amount
of sense. It depends on what it is, but.
I think I'd probably want to invite Keanu Reeves. He seems like a really chill dude.
He is awesome.
He's such a good guy.
Yeah.
He's like a good person.
Yeah.
It's weird. Mm-hmm. It's great.
And it, you know, then we could commiserate about how often I have people ask me if I'm related to John Wick, and
oh boy,
yeah. Gosh, I think I might go with I'm trying to think of her name from like basically like can I cheat and say like a bunch? Like I want like the women of SNL. Like that's what I want. I want like
all right.
I want like Kate McKinnon and A.D. Bryant and Cecily Strong and Melissa DeSignor and like all of them, Heidi Gardner. I want those women to come to my, that sounds like a fucking blast. Like that is, they are all so funny right now.
All right. Well, I don't see why. I mean, what's he going to do? Is he going to like withdraw his questions? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Nick? I feel weird about like having someone famous show up to like, oh, am I paying them to hobnob with us? Because I hate the idea of that. But I would pay someone to like perform at a party or something, right?
Okay. So you do that, so, and hobnobbing's part of it.
Okay.
Say it's performances involved.
You know what? I'm gonna say like Jared Kiso from Letterkenny.
I almost went with Jared Kiso.
The co-creator and the star of Letterkenny who plays Wayne.
Yeah.
By all accounts, I mean, obviously he's a very funny guy and pretty nice to work with and get along with, and like he can just come and we'll hang out.
Apparently, he's an amazing drummer.
Apparently,
so there you go. Like, so, he can play drums.
You'd have to play drums for your band.
Yeah. Otherwise, maybe like Mark Forward come and do comedy or something, and then afterwards, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right, good calls, good choices, okay. Elle.
Question four.
Yeah.
Again, we are ultra rich.
Super
what geeky rich. Franchise would you invest in to facilitate a reboot, sequel, expansion, etc.? So what's you're going to be the executive producer on something here. What are you throwing money at to make it happen?
I'm totally executive producing Star Wars. I mean, there's decent stuff coming out of Star Wars now, but I've got ideas.
And, you got ideas?
I feel like I need to
throw some money that makes Disney notice.
If I've got enough money, Disney can notice. And I mean, I want to build a movie that you can make a ride around. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Yeah.
Tim's got Star Wars ideas.
I would executive produce the Mistborn series that is done with the original creators of Avatar and the Dragon Prince. Oh. And it's an animated series adaptation with that style of powers and magic done with the Mistborn.
Mm-hmm. I'm down.
Yeah. They're perfect for it.
I'm gonna find out how much money it takes to make the BBC put Dirk Gently back on the air.
Oh.
Because that was so good, and it deserves another season. And
without Max Landis,
you know, we don't need Max Landis. Yeah. That's fine. We've got the oeuvre.
Yeah,
we find someone who's a super fan who gets it right.
And just go from there. An amazing show! How
it
tragic.
Was super good. Yeah, yeah. All right. Question five. If you set up a philanthropic foundation, what would its focus be? You got all this fucking money and you're not Jeff Bezos, right? Mm. You're not going to sit on it like some kind of fucking bald dragon. You're going to actually like give that money away more like Bill and Melinda Gates, but I mean like not that much. They're still worth a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
But more like them.
More like them. Then I mean I think I'd have to really focus on social justice issues, especially finding ways to combat systemic racism in the United States. That would be kind of where I'd like to spend some money right now. I think that's super important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would community education. I think basically think like a community college, but free.
Yeah,
sure.
And you know, more of them around. Basically, buy community colleges and make them free. Mm-hmm. And then
give accredited degrees.
Yeah, and they give accredited degrees and they teach or certificate work. Mm-hmm. If, you know, there's lots of trades careers that people mm-hmm. could make a pretty fucking great living doing. That's that nice. Stuff, and it's important. And we work hand in hand with labor unions to also educate people on their rights as a worker. It would be a very pro-labor educational endeavor.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I could ever get like billions of dollars rich from Geeks Without God.
Not from a podcast, yeah.
But so if I had that level of wealth, like billions of dollars, I would just basically take the amount of money I want to give away. It was just going to be most of it, like Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, and then just divide it among all of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, any school that isn't associated with a church. Sorry, but any school that isn't associated with a church, unless your church can prove that it takes in that it's actually like a nonprofit.
Nah, don't give them a loophole.
Yeah, all right, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
They'll find a way to work around
only
it.
Only secular schools. Yep. And they all get money.
They
and
find money by tricking their followers out of it. So
and the money specifically has to go to supplies for teachers, like in classroom supplies.
It's a trust.
So they don't have to buy their own fucking pencils.
That's what it's for. Yeah. It's every school gets a trust, and it's for classroom supplies, full stop. That's what I would do if I had billions. If I had Geeks Without God money, I'd probably just pick schools here in the state.
Sure.
Right. I was focused on Minnesota. I would figure out how much money it would take to make sure every school in Minnesota that was not associated with any religion got that.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
Good answers, everybody.
Those are all from Jason says, I hope I haven't hit on any repeat questions.
No.
Like we remember.
Right. I can't imagine. I don't think I ever answered a bunch of questions where I was ultra rich. So.
Thanks, all right. Jason. Well. Thanks, Jason. And you know what? If you listeners out there would like to help make us ultra rich so that we can live out these fantasy questions, we have a Patreon. You can just log on to patreon.com. Let's look for Geeks Without God. Drop us a couple of bucks a month. You can get these episodes early. There are people out there who already knew our answers to these questions, and you didn't because you didn't support us as a Patreon supporter. But we hope you do. At some point, consider that. If you don't consider that, how about just considering dropping us a review on iTunes or Stitcher and maybe liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter and all that grand old stuff. I think we do have a new Patreon supporter, don't we?
We do have a new Patreon supporter. Cletus the Slackjawed Yokel wants you to please support Atheists of Utah and Pennsylvania Nonbelievers. Just edited their pledge to $5.21. So that name again, Cletus the Slackjawed Yokel wants you to please support Atheists of Utah and Pennsylvania, PA, non-believers.
Well,
that's the name.
Thanks a lot for that.
It's been a while,
For that extra whatever it is. We super
It's free. It's free thinker. It's our friend who
likes to have a shout out to him every now and again.
Always loves to mess with us. I like it.
So, and that's totally cool. You can do that too, but only if you support us on Patreon. Otherwise, you can't do that. So,
can't.
Sorry, buddy. That's our show. We are done for the week, but we are going to be back next week as we have been every week for a very long time. So we've been Geeks Without God. You have been our audience. We will catch you next time. Bye.
Hey, Ted, why didn't I get a cameo in the John Wick films? Because I would have just shot you in the face, Bill.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
That's it for movie number one.